country. It's time to dance.
Buckins for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in another episode of Catamount Insider. I'm your host, Brian McLaughlin. Great to talk to you on this Saturday morning. If you're listening to us live in the Burlington area, or if you're catching up on the podcast, great to have you. Wherever you get your podcasts, we are now available as well. They come out just about at the same time as the radio show airs every Saturday morning. You can go back and listen to previous episodes as well along the podcast feed. So thanks to you, however you're tuning in. We've got another exciting show planned. First up will be Sophia Dries of the field hockey team. Sophia recently became the all-time record holder with her 26th career assist, the most assist in a Catamount career ever. So Dries breaks down that accomplishment and sneakily a field hockey team that entering Friday have won four of their last five matches. They're playing some really good hockey and Dries is at the heart of that. Last weekend, a big conference victory over UMass Lowell and then a dominant performance, topping Merrimack 7-0. So it's great to have Sophia on to talk about a real hot run of play for her and her team. Then I'm joined by new goalkeeper coach on the men's soccer team, Brendan Pulley. Pulley, the last few years, has been a backup goalie on this soccer team. Now, in a coaching role after graduating last spring, Pulley's been instrumental in what's become kind of a two-goalkeeper system. Lou Lidke, the transfer from Davidson, was the goalie at the start of the year. Now freshman from Germany, Nicholas Herseg, has kind of won that role and has really impressed the UVM men's soccer team up to 16th in the country. They take on UMBC later tonight at 7 p.m. on the road down in Baltimore, so you're going to have to check that one out online. But worth watching as the Catamounts are coming off three consecutive shutouts with Herseg in net. So I get all of Pulley's observations around that goalkeeper battle, and he gets to tell his story as well over his playing career and transition into coaching. So I think you're really going to enjoy both those interviews today. Hope you enjoy the whole show. We're going to take a quick timeout. Sophia Dries sits down on Catamount Insider when we return. As always, brought to you by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt, here with Sophia Dries, a senior on the field hockey team, and now the program's all-time record holder for career assists. We'll start with some team-oriented stuff, though, first, Sophia, but just how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out, so yeah, I'm doing right. Well. Yeah.
Team's coming off a big weekend. You have the big conference win against UMass Lowell, and then you dominate Merrimack in another really good performance. Those weekends just have to be the best, right? When you have two games, you come away with two wins.
Yeah, it's been an exciting weekend, especially because my parents were here for the first time ever. So it's been a great weekend. Yeah, super, super fun. Yeah.
Kind of in the heart of your season now, just a couple of conference games remaining. I mean, you've played so many years now here at UVM. Does it feel like this one's flown by? Does it feel like you've had to kind of grind through it? What's it like as you're in your senior year, kind of on the home stretch here?
No, it feels like it's been flying by. I remember coming in, and I feel like it was yesterday. So it's been a little scary because season is almost over, but I'm enjoying every second. And, yeah, it's flying by.
Yeah,
so much fun.
So let's talk about kind of the overarching stuff this season. Team gets off to kind of a slow start, all those road games. You drop the tough overtime decision to Ohio. But recently you guys are playing some really high-level hockey. Like you said, like we've talked about, you've played a lot here and you've played in a lot of games. How would you kind of assess the season overall and how it's been so far?
I think the start of the season was a little tough. We had to rearrange a lot, and obviously the season and the team has been super, super new. A lot of new people were throwing into new positions, and I think we just had to get the feel a little bit and see where each person is playing at their best and where our connection is the best. Mm. So I think after we found that, we're playing our best hockey ever, and our connection has been really great. And, yeah, the team has just been a joy. So it's going really great. Yeah.
Okay, this could be a loaded question for you. Where do you consider your best position on the field to be? You've played all over. If I were asking you, though, you could pick one spot in the field that you think you play best. Where would you kind of pinpoint?
It's kind of different, difficult question because I think it also depends on the opponent we're playing. Okay. Right now I'm really enjoying center back just because it's taking a little more stress off, I guess, and I have more of a overview and like more time to find the people I want to connect with. So right now I would probably say center back. I do, however, kind of miss the offensive play a little bit. So I also love low screen. Sometimes I miss being a little more up high. Sure. So even like a side mid. But my answer right now would be center back. Yeah. Yes.
Over your career, you've played in all these different spots based on where the team has needed you. And this year especially, it's felt like you've been kind of shifting around. As, like you said, early in the year with so many losses from last season, you guys trying to just figure out who fits best where. What's that been like? Has that been hard to play all these different spots and try to feel like you're settling into a specific area?
I think it's actually been kind of nice. Okay. I think the first 3 years I played center back almost every game of every season. So I'm kind of liking the switch up. It's a little bit more exciting, I guess. A little bit of a challenge, but who doesn't love a challenge? So.
What was the conversations like with the coaches when that's all going on? And I know you guys tried Lota some at center back. Meredith's obviously been playing there a bunch. What was that all like in the discussions that you were having with them about what you were kind of seeing with different people in different spots?
I think we're really trying to work close with the coaches together. Mm-hmm. And I think our first intention was to bring Lota in the back just because we couldn't really get the ball out of the back. And then we couldn't really connect through the midfield. So there was just a big gap between the defense and the offense and the strikers mm-hmm. forward. So it worked a little bit better with Lota in the back, but then we were missing her in the front field. Right. So we were thinking about different options. And I felt a little bit like I wasn't even touching the ball for like half of the game. Yeah. So I was like, what if I go play D?
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, let's try it. And it's working so much better. And then obviously we did also a couple other switches around. I think it's been going so much better. Yeah. And I think we can tell by the results. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about the UMass Lowell performance specifically, because that's a team that over the last few years have been really dominant in your league. And I know you told me before we sat down, those decisions against Maine and UNH were ones that were tough, but then you guys do put together such a complete performance. That one in particular had to be really satisfying to get the win, wasn't it?
Yes, amazing, especially because my class, we've never beaten Lowell before, so it was just overall great to finally beat that team because we had so many games against them that were head-to-head, and mm-hmm. we just lost it in overtime, or we broke down in the last 5 minutes. But I think this year it was different because we already had the loss against Maine, the loss against UNH, and both of the teams we could have won against, and to be honest, should have won, but mm-hmm. either we broke down or we weren't performing at our best or the connection was off. So I think the entire team just needed the win against Lowell, and we were all on the same page that we really wanted to win that one. And obviously, we played at home, so even right. more of an exciting game to perform and yeah. just take the win. Yeah.
What, I guess, specifically on the field, did you guys feel like you did so well that took you to the next level? What were the things that you were really hoping to execute that you did to help you come out on top?
I think our main objective was to keep fighting every single second of the game. Mm-hmm. I think especially against UNH, we broke down after they scored and then after we scored. And we really wanted to show that even after we scored, we're going to come back even harder and put another one in. And I think we never started to, like, go yeah. down or something.
Sure.
So I think we just kept on fighting and kept on rolling and never took a second off. And I think you could feel it on the field and even watching. It yeah. was really amazing energy. Yeah.
Okay, then against Merrimack, you complete the big weekend with a dominant win, and you pick up, finally, you might say, your 26th career assist, something that I know you've – at least been aware of at least for a little bit now that this could happen this season. When the moment happened and you get the assist, did you kind of have that moment of realization, or did you find out afterward that you got the credit for it and that's when it kind of set in that you got that program record?
Well, I figured in the moment, like two or three, like, or half a minute after, I was like, wait a minute, was that it? Because I knew the one before was like where I evened it out, mm-hmm. and I needed one more to break the record. But in the moment, it was really just about the goal. Great shot from Loda. Mm-hmm. So we really just celebrated her. And then after the game, people came up to me and were like, by the way, so did you realize that was your record? And then we kind of started celebrating. And yeah, it feels great. I feel like most of the time it's team effort, and it's just, I guess, a little lucky that people scored the goal after I gave them the ball. Yeah. But it feels amazing. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier your parents were in town for the first time ever, you just said, when they come to Burlington. How special was that to, A, get the record, but also, B, just to have them here and come all the way and get to watch you play?
Yeah, it feels amazing. Super, super, super cool. A little weird to see them on the sidelines, actually.
Really?
It's amazing. I love them being here. I love showing them around. They're amazed by UVM and Burlington, and yeah, just great having them here.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a bit about kind of the overarching career that helped you get to that number of assists. You've played with some, like you said, great players who have scored a lot when you gave them the ball. But what do you think has made you such a productive player over the years, having the ability to set up teammates and see the field with your passing? What do you think has helped you get to that milestone?
I think I've just been really fortunate with getting to like play field hockey from a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. So I kind of grew the understanding and the overview of the game. So, I think I just find people really well in their spots and then hopefully set them up for success so they can get their shots and their goals in. And yeah, I also, since I, like I said earlier, I played low screen for three and a half years now. I think it's really just a position where you get the ball in tight positions and then kind of build it up to like places where people can attack and, yeah, just get the ball in the net.
So a lot of these moments in field hockey in general, they come off these corners. They come off set pieces. They come off the set plays. This season, I talked with Coach Pfeiffer earlier in the year, and she said that was something you guys are really working on. Now the last few weekends against Dartmouth and then against both Lowell and Merrimack, it's feeling like there have been so many options for you guys off of these corners. How has that unfolded throughout this year, especially as you guys have tried to put all of your attacking pieces in the best options to succeed on those set plays?
Yeah, I think this year is very special because we have even more opportunities and more different plays we're running on the corners.
Yeah.
In the past years, we maybe had like 3-4 corner options we were going to run, and they were, for the most part, pretty successful. But I think now we have at least 6, 7, 8 different options, and it's, I think, also really unpredictable for opponent of what we're going to do. So I think that's helping us succeed, and I think we're also overall just doing a better job of locking in and really trying to execute every single one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much time in practice do you guys spend on corners and defending them and executing on offense?
A great deal. Yeah. I think we're doing like at least one day in the week where we're doing a heavy corner practice, so like at least 30 minutes on offense on that day, and then probably maybe even more, maybe 30 to 45.
Yeah.
And then we're also obviously doing DPCs, but we're spending not as much time on them because it's usually two different options and easier to, like, it's not as many different options, so we don't have to spend that much time on them. But, yeah, I think we're setting a focus on really trying to execute our corners and keep working on them and elevating them and making them look sharper. So,
sure.
So a great deal, yeah.
Yeah. You're also often in that DPC unit, the defending side of things. I have to imagine that's scary. First of all, I just want to get that out there. You guys don all the protective gear, and often these players and so many opponents, and you guys have them two people with big shots. What's that like? Take me inside the life of being on the defensive end of one of those corners.
Yeah, it can be scary, but I think the more you do it, you get used to it, and you just got to embrace it. And I think you need to trust yourself of what you're doing, take up as much space as you can, and also in some sense trust that we're all Division I field hockey athletes, and we know that if they're taking a shot, it's likely not going to hit your face because it's not
low,
to be low. Kind of trust the game, and then also on the other side of it, though, put your body on the line. Just play for the team. Yeah, play for the team, play for your teammates, and if it hits your body, it hits your body. At least it didn't go in the net.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just play for your teammates. Don't think about yourself. You're not going to be – you have all the gear, so you're not going to die from it. So
sure.
A hit is just going to be something you have to swallow and move on.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to wrap up with a couple of questions for you about coming to Vermont and coming to the United States to play collegiate field hockey. I talked with Lota about this recently when she joined the show, but what was your experience like when you kind of went through the decision-making process of coming over here to play and then eventually coming to Vermont? How did you kind of land on that decision, if you can think back to those days?
Yeah, I remember talking to different coaches and just looking at the team on Instagram, on social media, and just seeing their dynamic, because it was really important for me to get into a team where I would enjoy to be every single day, because I know it's a lot of time that you're going to invest in, so you would want it to be a space where you feel comfortable in, where you like want to be. So that was a part that I really liked when I was talking to the teammates that were already here. And it made me feel really comfortable, and they were really inviting and welcoming. And then, too, Kate was just super, super nice, super welcoming, and I think she does a great job of seeing more than just the player, also the person behind it. I fell in love with the teammates, the coaching staff, and obviously Vermont, too, because it's beautiful out here, the mountains. Yeah, the academics were also a big part for me. So the big package was just amazing. And I felt like it was a perfect fit for me.
Now one of the leaders of this team and somebody who's been here for a while, there is such an international presence amongst a lot of field hockey teams. But you guys are one of those with people who've come from all over the globe to come play here. How do you try to make younger players feel comfortable? What do you tell to some of the new girls who are coming in with maybe they're not familiar with the culture? How have you tried to make everything, like you said, feel just regular when you're somebody new coming in?
I think it's just important to zoom out sometimes and be aware of the opportunity you're being given. Not everyone can go to the U.S. and study and just be exposed in a different environment. So I think that is one big part I try to like tell my younger teammates, and then also just connecting with one another, like talking to different teammates from different places, from the Netherlands, Argentina, wherever it may be, and just like tell them that we've all been there. It's hard, but once you come through and you're on the other side of it, it's gonna be even greater, and you're gonna grow from it so much. You're going to be so much more independent, and being here is just giving you such an advantage in life. You're going to learn so many life skills, and it's just a great learning experience that you won't forget for the rest of your life.
Do you ever catch yourself talking in German with Sophia Lefranc, or when Alina Gurka used to be on the team as well? Was there ever a moment when you would catch yourself in that out on the field?
Every once in a while, but sometimes I don't realize it. And then someone else is telling me and was like, was that English? usually we're pretty good at just speaking in English. Every once in a while. Sometimes it's a little easier, too, when we're already set up in the corners and someone didn't hear something, or we're telling us where to get the tip so the opponent team also won't hear. So in that sense, sometimes it's a little advantage, which is nice. But overall, I think we're we do a good job of speaking English to each other.
What excites you most looking at the rest of this season? What when you look forward, gets you really juiced and ready to go?
I think I'm super excited for the Albany game. Mm-hmm. I think they're a big opponent, and I think we've learned a lot, and we grew a lot as a team compared to the beginning of the season. And I think still we're kind of, since we lost against Maine and UNH, like we're kind of being viewed as the underdog. But mm-hmm. I think it would be amazing coming out against Albany and get a win and show them that we're on fire and we're gonna do great things in the postseason. And yeah, so I'm super excited for that.
Yeah. Sophia, thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week. It was great to sit down and chat. Looking forward to this weekend's matchup with Bryant and can't wait for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Insider this week. I hope you enjoyed that one where she talked about her career record mark, 26 career assists, the most in program history. She has been a productive force in the Catamount midfield and back line for a long time now and is doing so again this season amongst the team best in points, goals, assists. She's also taken all three penalty stroke chances for UVM and scored on all three of those. Truly a do-it-all type of player that the Catamounts seem to have really found a perfect spot for based on this team and where they are playing at the moment. They are playing some really good hockey as we talk to you on this Saturday morning. We're going to take another time out. When we return, Brendan Pulley, the goalie coach on the men's soccer team, sits down on Catamount Insider. So don't go anywhere. This is Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. I'm joined by goalkeeper coach on the men's soccer team, Brendan Pulley. Brendan, thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week. How are you today?
I'm good, yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's talk about your career a little bit. We're going to talk about this team, but I want to just start with a year ago this time, you're on the roster. You're part of the team. Now you're the goalkeeper coach. You're a coach on this team. How did that all come about? How did that kind of start to become something that you were thinking about? And when did you kind of think, I might want to become a coach after my playing career comes to a close here?
Yeah, so after I graduated here and left in late December, I moved back home to North Carolina. And, you know, I was still playing at the time. I was going on trials and kind of just figuring out, you know, if playing was still an option for me after college. And I was also just kind of working odd jobs, like just really, really random jobs. And, you know, I wasn't really too sure where my career was going. And I had picked up an injury early in January and kind of had to play through it. And things weren't going that great. And I had an opportunity to work with my old club, North Carolina FC in Raleigh, North Carolina. And they gave me an opportunity to just kind of work with, you know, I think the age was around 12-year-old goalkeepers at that time. And this was earlier this year. And, you know, I started really enjoying it. And, you know, the director of goalkeeping really liked me because he had coached me as a player. And he really enjoyed me as a coach as well. So he brought me in with the academy teams to start coaching the goalkeepers there. And I kind of just fell in love with it. It's not something that I had planned, honestly. I know, like, during my career, I was always saying, you know, after I'm done playing, I think, you know, that'll be it for me. I'll step away from the game. But, you know, it's just kind of been my calling, and it's not something I can really leave behind. And, you know, once I started coaching at that level, you know, I reached out to Brad, actually, and I was like, hey, do you think you could help me, you know, get to a university, you know, start of the new fall season? And he was like, yeah. So he was sending me email to people. He was sending me all these people's information to reach out to, and I was so thankful. And then the previous goalkeeper coach, Connor Leland, ended up leaving, I think maybe a couple months before May, so it's around that time before I actually moved back up here. So, you know, Brad told me, he's like, don't make any decisions yet until we have a conversation, and, you know, the rest is kind of history now.
So when did you get back to Vermont, and what were the kind of first immediate things that they wanted you to kind of get rolling with?
Yeah, so there was actually, you know, I got here in May. Okay. I came to walk for my ceremony since I graduated the previous semester, so I was already planning on being here. But the trip ended up turning into me packing all my things in my car and moving up here. But, no, when they told me early on, you know, for the first month or so that I was here, it wasn't going to be too much. It was mostly just helping out with ID camps, some recruiting stuff, and you know, we had a couple of late decommitments and stuff like that in my position. So I was kind of, you know, helping in that way of finding out who the next guy coming in was going to be. But you know, for me, it was so early on that I was kind of like just, you know, I was giving my input, but I was really just like whatever Brad and Rob are saying. You know, these guys, they've been doing this for a while and they've got the experience. So I give, you know, I give my two cents, but they were really kind of that driving factor of who we were going with. And, you know, for me being this early on in my career, I'm completely okay with that.
Okay. So you, when you're on the roster, part of some really competitive goalkeeping groups with Nate Silvera, Eddie Vargas, Owen Jack comes in last year. And then you leave. Eddie transfers to San Diego State. Owen Jack's out of eligibility. There's no returning goalkeepers at all on the roster. What was that like as those other coaches are kind of figuring out who to bring in, and then these new guys come to campus? As you're then in charge of this position, what was that like as you're, A, coaching these guys, but also I'm sure kind of trying to make sure they're a part of this roster and a part of a culture that you've helped create? What was that kind of early stage like working with these three new guys that are now on the team?
Yeah, no, I actually, so I'll just go in kind of the order of how these guys came, like how I met them. Mitch Ringman, I met in January because I came back up for about a week in Vermont, and he came in this past spring, so I got to meet him. I didn't really talk much with him, you know, I wasn't here for very long, didn't get to really see him train, but, you know, when he had basically a full semester here, and I had good reviews about him from as a person and as a player from the players and staff. So I was really excited to get to work with him. And then Lou, I've actually played against in my career a couple of times. North Carolina, USL 2. He played for Tobacco Road, and I was playing for my home club, North Carolina FC. So we've crossed paths before, but never really, you know, introduced to each other. But you know, I've known about him, so it was it was pretty cool. And then Nicholas was kind of a late pickup for us after a decommitment by another player. But you know, I was really excited. I was kind of part of that decision to bring him in, so that was kind of like one of my first things that I got to do, which I was really excited about because you know, we were looking for a keeper, and you know, that's my job. So you know, I was really happy to help with that, and it seems that you know, these three guys are the perfect fit for the culture and the program and everything that it stands for. So, you know, I'm really, really lucky to have these three guys as my first year, you know, goalkeeper union. So,
So I know early on in preseason, Nicholas gets hurt, and that kind of allows Lou to kind of be the clear number one at the start of the year. But at what point are you kind of realizing that Nicholas is a dude, and he's obviously got so much quality to him, and I've seen him out there working with you guys even when he was hurt? How did that kind of unfold throughout the fall, and now Nicholas has been kind of the go-to option in net recently with three straight shutouts? But early on, as summer and fall are kind of converging and the season gets started, I'm just curious about what the picture kind of looked like to you. What were you seeing from really all three guys, because I know Mitch was a part of that as well?
Yeah, no, 100%. So these three guys came in and knew that it was an open competition. You know, for me and for the whole staff, it was basically like three new guys, so there's nothing to base them off of. Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, you could do something before you get here, and to be honest, for me, I don't really care. It doesn't have anything to do with what you're going to do or what you're doing now. So for me, it didn't matter, and it was always an open competition. And like you said, Nicholas had the unfortunate injury that kind of cleared the pathway for Lou early on in the season, and Lou took it and ran with it, and I thought he did a really, really good job. I think the decision with Nick giving him an opportunity was something that we wanted to do, because if you even said it yourself, you know, when he was injured, I mean, this kid was putting in the work to come back. It wasn't just like, you know, taking his time. He was grinding when we were away. He was doing his runs. He was doing, you know, touches on the ball, you know, and still like going as he's playing, going through injury and stuff like that, just doing his rehab for his finger still and everything. So he's been, you know, he's been really excellent about the recovery, which is not always easy for some players, especially new players. But he's pretty mature for his age, and you know, this group in particular is a pretty mature group, even though they're fairly, I wouldn't say young, but in terms of college, but they are young in terms of life. So it's a very mature group, and they come out every single day to just push each other, compete, and also just create such a colorful energy in the group, and it makes my life, you know, a lot better, and my job a lot easier. Because early on, you know, I was a little bit stressed, like, you know, these guys are close to my age, I don't know if I'll get, you know, the respect. But it's an incredibly respectful group, and not only towards myself but each other. And, you know, going through the 1 through 3, like, I've been there, so I understand the mental piece of the position, and particularly at this school. So, you know, managing the players is something that, you know, I'm starting to slowly understand, and Rob and Brad are definitely helping me with. But, you know, Nick's been playing really well. You know, we don't like too much change in this goalkeeper position. But like I said, we wanted to give Nick the opportunity to have a chance to showcase himself, since he didn't get to early on in the year. And, you know, we felt confident with that decision. But that doesn't really change the fact that we feel confident if Lou was to be in or Mitch was to be in, to be honest, because we just have a really strong goalkeeping core. And, you know, these guys, they love each other. They love the program, you know, so it makes everything fairly easy.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you about what it has been like. You were on the team last year. Now you're a coach. That can be difficult, I'm sure, at times, kind of in a very different role than you were in at this time a year ago. What has it been like being around the guys that you were teammates with? And then, of course, you mentioned it, you're a similar age to a lot of these dudes as well. Just take me through kind of your experience as a right out of college, immediately into coaching a team that you were just on.
Yeah, no, it was something that came to mind, you know, before I took the position, was, you know, coming back here where I've got friends and teammates and just people everywhere in the community. Yeah. And playing a different role within the team was going to be something that I didn't know how it was going to go. So, you know, I was a little bit nervous beforehand, just in terms of, you know, how it was going to go. But, you know, as soon as I got here, the respect that all the boys showed me, and, you know, even the new guys have shown me, has just been fantastic. And, you know, I got half the team calling me Coach Pulley, and I got half the other guys calling me Pulley. So, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, like Cole Richardson, for example, is a guy that, you know, he was the first guy I met here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was, and he's getting into his senior year now. I mean, I've seen this guy from he was 18, you know, all the way till now, and in between that time, we've lived together, and it's, you know, so it's an interesting dynamic within the team, because he's kind of like a brother to me, and a lot of these guys are like brothers to me, but, you know, I think once the whistle blows, practice starts, anything that, you know, even in the gym, like, you know, I think the professionalism within this team is, you know, it shows, and, you know, I feel that respect from them, and they've done a fantastic job. Another reason why I just love being in this Vermont area and Burlington area, this community is just so fantastic in every aspect.
Yeah. Team's playing pretty good soccer right now, up to 16th in the country in the coaches' poll, right around there in the RPI as well. 3 straight shutouts, a big part of that. But where do you feel like the team's at? And you're kind of in the driver's seat in the conference. A couple of games left in conference play. Walk me through kind of how you view this year's team. You've been on as a player, really successful teams in the past. I don't want you to necessarily compare this group to years past, but does it feel similar at all to the point in the year as where it's been previously?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's an interesting question. It's something that I've thought about in recent weeks. I spoke to some of the boys after the game, last game, and I was just incredibly proud of that performance. And in my time here, I've been with a lot of different teams, a lot of different players, championship teams, non-championship teams, deep tournament run teams, non-deep. So I've kind of seen it all. And this group feels really special. You know, I'm still trying to figure out exactly why. But there's just something about this group where, you know, whether it's the 11 on the pitch or however many on the bench, those guys are just as prepared to come on, which I'm not sure we've had entirely for my entire career here. But it's something that certainly does help. And, you know, there's a togetherness about this team in particular as well, where I'm just like, wow, like, you know, every single guy on this pitch is willing to defend and attack from the 1 through the 9s, you know, like, so, It's been a pretty, you know, impressive season on top of, you know the 16th and you know, being ranked and everything. Is that the fact that we've had one loss, and that came in the first game of the season against
the first half of the season.
Yeah, an unbeaten Western Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that, like, we could have, you know, taken that 3-1 loss away from Western Michigan and kind of just followed that path on a decline, and you know, we didn't. You know, there were a lot of moving pieces, and we're still sorting players. People are still coming. Like, that game was so early on in the season, guys were just getting settled in, not really, you know, so aware of what the NCAA was like. And now I think that we've kind of got all that dust and cotton webs away from us. Like, I don't think there's no chance anyone can stop us as long as, you know, we continue to believe in ourselves and come out to train the same way that we've been training this past couple months. Like, it's been really awesome being around this team.
You mentioned the most recent performance against Bryant, a narrow win, 1-0. Nicholas makes a few really big saves late. And I noticed on, I think, his final stop, you gave a big fist pump on the sideline. And you were emotional then after the game, running right up and giving him a big hug. What's that like as a coach, to watch a player that you're working with make some big stops and really come through for the team?
It's amazing. It's a really, really awesome feeling. You know, when we do things in training and they translate to games, you know, it's a fantastic feeling as a coach. But honestly, he's him and Lou as well. When Lou was playing, like, watching them make big saves, you know, for me in my role currently, I just feel like I'm someone that's, you know, for this season, my focus has been match preparation and getting them prepared for what they might see, rather than pure development, which will look completely different, like, in the spring. But, you know, these guys are the ones, they put in the work throughout their whole career. They're putting themselves in these moments, to have these opportunities to make these saves. And, you know, when you do make the save, that's, you know, that's the whole thing, is making that save and, you know, that action, whatever it is. It might be a cross, you know, like, thought Nicholas against UConn was unbelievable in the air, you know, just killing out that game for us. And, you know, whoever's in goal, really, we feel confident in our back line, who've done such an amazing job this year of just, you know, insulating the keeper, giving him the chance to make the saves and make come out for crosses and stuff like that. And anything that they don't, I fully believe the 10 guys in front of him will take care of what needs to be taken care of. So there's a lot of confidence. I have a lot of confidence within this team in any position, but, you know, it is such an unbelievable feeling getting to see the goalkeeper kind of, you know, get that spotlight, because it's not always something that you want. Yeah. Right? You don't want, as a goalkeeper coach, you know, I tell the boys, like, a good day's work for us is not seeing a single shot. It means we did our job, you know, through communication and other actions. So when we do have to be called upon, you know, seeing them make the saves, be the guy in that moment is huge for me, and I know it's big for them as well, so that makes me happy.
Yeah. Okay, moving forward, I know you don't want, like, a goalkeeper battle. You've mentioned you trust all three guys you've got in the room. Is this Nicholas's job at the moment? Because Lou has proven, and statistically he's got great numbers as well, but how do you kind of see this throughout the stretch run of the season? All these games now just feel so vital. How do you see this kind of unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't think we're looking to make a change. There isn't much change going on within the team right now currently. You know, we're playing really well. We feel confident with who we've got on the field, and we feel just as confident with who we've got on the bench. So, you know, I don't know if there'll be changes. You know, that's not something that I really control. But I will always, you know, give my input to the coaching staff, to whatever would help benefit this team. But whether it's Nicholas or Lou or even Mitch, like, you know, we feel fully confident that they'll take care of the job.
Yeah. Okay, I want to just wrap up with one thing I've noticed, and this might be completely nothing, but you seem, right before any guy that's coming into the game, you're kind of showing them some pictures, I assume, of set pieces.
Yeah.
How much is that done during the week, and is that something that you've really taken on as, this is my job to prepare these guys for set pieces they might be seeing? And kind of walk me through just some of those conversations you're having before guys go on the pitch.
Yeah, so early on in the season, it was mostly Brad's job in terms of set pieces. Obviously, Rob and Brad would discuss them, but it wasn't really something that, I wouldn't say I wasn't included in. I was just saying it was something that, you know, I was just watching and absorbing and trying to learn a little bit more from. and then kind of learning it, explaining it to the players, and kind of going through that. And in recent weeks, you know, Brad told me, he's like, you know, I want you to start looking over, you know, start scouting for set pieces, you know, defensive set pieces, attacking set pieces, come up with some plays, you know, and then we'll talk about it as a staff and everything. So in recent weeks, I've kind of, you know, I've started to put my mark on a couple of things. And also, you know, when I put something out there, Rob will work off that, and I'll work off Rob and Brad and Toomey and everything. So, yeah, so mostly in that binder is all of our set pieces. And I'm just really reminding guys of their roles in each set piece that we have. And sure. there's quite a couple. So sometimes, you know, when you go in for somebody, you know, this time you might be going in for somebody else this time. Yeah. So you got to know their roles, and it's right. my job to make sure that they know their roles. And, you know, we're starting to see a little bit more of that. You know, NJIT was a perfect example of that. That was a game that we've heavily focused on set pieces, mm-hmm. knew that set pieces was going to be a driving factor. And it was.
Yeah.
It was. So kind of, you know, getting to experience that as a coach where you're like, you know, I kind of helped in that moment. It was obviously a whole collective effort from the coaching staff to the players. But being able to have, you know, a mark in that other than the goalkeepers
yeah.
is something that's really fulfilling and rewarding. And it's something that I'd like to keep learning about and, you know, run with it.
Well, Coach Poley, Brendan, thanks so much for taking the time this week. This was a pleasure. Good luck the rest of the season. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Coach Brendan Pulley for joining Catamount Insider this week. I really love when we get a chance to talk to some of the Catamount's assistant coaches, especially one who's so familiar with the program he's working with, even though it is just his first year as a coach. Pulley on the team the last few seasons as a backup goalkeeper and now is the goalkeeper coach. So really appreciate Brendan for taking the time to join us during a busy portion of their season. They are in stretch play of conference action, traveling down to take on the UMBC Retrievers on this Saturday. So thanks again to Brendan for joining Catamount Insider. We're wrapping up this week's show when we return. This is Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider. Just quickly recapping this week's show. Thanks to Brendan Pulley and Sophia Dries for joining us. Again, the men's soccer team taking on UMBC tonight at 7 if you're listening with us live on Saturday. The field hockey team next in action against 14th-ranked UAlbany on the road. That comes next Friday if you want to check out Sophia Dries and company in action. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week. As always, check out our previous episodes. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can listen to this one as well. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are available. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in throughout this episode. Talk to you same time, same place next week. This has been Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt.